So we left off on Thursday, trying to figure out what exactly Rabbi Bashashim was thinking. So at the end of the day, Rabbi Bashashim got rejected for some technical reasons, which we still don't know yet. But at least the Shishtaso, he had this great amigo going for him. And he thought that as long as he eats the fruit up to the amount of money that anyway the Yisomu will have to pay him, so for him to come straight out and say, you Yisomu owe me money as a shtar, that he didn't want to do, he's going to have to get a shvua, whole story. So he's trying to get out of that shvua. So he holds on to the land, even though the mashkon is over, and he eats kinega that amount of chov, and now he's got for himself a migo. What's the migo? Migo that he could have said, l'kuachi biyadi, which Yitaka would have been believed, because he had shnei chazaka, that's at least what he thought that he would have been believed. So migo that he could have said, l'kuachi biyadi, should be believed to say, you owe me X amount of money with the shtar. That was Rabbi Bashashim's grandiose plan. So before we get to why the plan was rejected, the Rishonim quickly jump on the plan and say, wait a second. He said, the whole plan, the whole idea was, presumably, to get out of taking the Shavua, even if you would have tied the Kuchi B'Yad, you would have had to take a Shavua. So the whole plan didn't work. So come to Rishonim and say, no, that there are a whole bunch of different reasons why, if he would have advanced the tying of the Kuchi B'Yad, the Yitaka would not have had to take a Shavua. Well, why would it have been exempt from a shvua? So we spoke about Arichas on Thursday. The Rashbam said, Eimish Ban Lakakos, Tosos disagreed, Tirabana, Tiraisa. We spoke about that on Thursday. Then the second approach, Rashbam said, that Chazaka Kishma, that whenever you have a Chazaka, so you don't have to take a shvua, Chazaka is strong, it doesn't require a shvua. We spoke about the pros and cons of that on Thursday. But then we left off with Taisus's Pshat. Taisus said that neither of those two Pshatim are correct. The real reason why Rabbi Shash would have been exempt from the shvua is because there wouldn't have been a Tainus Bari on behalf of the Yisomim, because the Yisomim don't really know what was going on. So the best that the Yisomim could have said to Rabbi Bashashim is, we think maybe this field is ours. Maybe here, maybe no. So that wouldn't have been a Tainus Bari. So a Tainus Shema cannot be Mechayev Shvua, particularly the Shvua that we're talking about is a Shvua Sasses. So Taisus develops the Yisomim that everybody knows that a Tainus Shema can't be Mechayev Shvua Sasses. That's the reason why there wouldn't have been a Shvua. So this is a very, very prati dick of consideration. This is unique to this case because it's Yisayim, not because it's Karakah, not because it's Chasid Gimel Shalim, but Davka because it's Yisayim, so that's called a Tana Shema, and a Tana Shema can't be Mechayev Shavuah. So we left off on Thursday with the Rosh. The Rosh says that's not true. The Rosh says it's true that Taka Tana Shema can't be Mechayev Shavuah, but this is not called a Tana Shema, this is called a Tana Bari. Why is it a Tana Bari? Because it's a magic term. What was the magic term we left off on Thursday? My favorite term, Tanina, Psach Pichalile, since Beis Din has an obligation to look out for the best interest of the Yisayimim, so Beis Din will advance a Tain on behalf of the Yisayimim, just as the father, if he would have been alive, would have advanced the Tainus Bari, Beis Din's also going to advance the Tainus Bari, and that Tainus Bari can be Mechayev Shvua. So what exactly is the Nekudas HaMachlaikis Tais in the Rosh? Everyone was supposed to be thinking about this over Shabbos, I'm sure everybody did. What's the Nekudas HaMachlaikis Tais in the Rosh? How come Tais was said that notwithstanding the principle of Taninan, it still remains a Taina Shema. And according to Rosh, the principle of Tanina can create, can transform the Taina Shema into a Taina Bari. What are they arguing about? So we've already seen in the past, when we spoke about Tanina, both this year and last year, those with us in Gittin, that Tanina is not the end of the world's problems. The Tanina doesn't solve everything in the world. There are certain limitations to Tanina. Tanina works with its own parameters in halacha. For example, we saw our famous Tosfos in the fourth parak of Baba Basra, where Tosfos assumes that what's a basic limitation of Tanina? Tanina can't work when? When it's a milsa what? Who remembers? Milsa lo shchicha. Remember the two examples of Tosfos? The case of Tainus Netin, so we spoke about last semester. Last year we spoke about Tainus Mezuyof, the first Tosfos in Gittin, the Beis, first week of Shil last year. So Tanina has limitations. Tanina is not an end all. One possible limitation of Tanina appears to be a Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. About the following case. Maybe a little bit of a throwback to some of the things we spoke about last semester. Let's get us back into the mindset. We spoke about a little bit this semester. Also, the famous Machlekes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua about Tainus what? No. Tainus B'Shei Rastani Be'enasti. Okay, so what happens? If it didn't turn between the husband and the wife, the couple gets married. The next morning, the husband comes to Beis and says, I'm not giving you a ksuba, because I married you, think you were a basula, and I was misled, you're not a basula, I realized that you were a ba'ula, and therefore you're not entitled to your ksuba. That's the tanya that the husband has. To which the wife responds, it is true that I was not a basula, that is correct, but I became not a basula after the time of the kiddushin, after the time of the erusin, and therefore it's your tough luck, it's your loss. She responds, Misha erastani ne'enasti, that she was raped after the erusin, and what were the two magic words? Your field, quote unquote, has overflooded. It means it's your loss, not my loss. So they're fighting it out. What's the halacha? So we've already spoken about this bi'arichus, about the Rabbi Gamliel's migo and Rabbi Yeshua's response to the migo. Is it a good migo, not a good migo? Migo, yes. Baruch Hashem, we've seen the sugi many times. Come Rashi and Tosfos in Maseches Ksubos and have a detailed machlekes within Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was the one who believed the woman. According to Rabbi Gamliel, the woman has a taina to Beis Din. She can say, we believe her. What do we believe her based on? Either because she's a barakah, she's a chazak, because she's a migo, she's a something, she's a combination, something. She's got something going for her. Tainus b'sheir astayin anasti is an acceptable taina in Beis Din. Comes Rashi in Ksubos and says, what would that halacha be in the following case? What if the same din Torah would be taking place, but the woman cannot respond? She can't say those two magic words, Mishir Esnani Nanasti. You know why? She can't say anything. She's a what? She's a Chereshes. So now, this whole sugya is in the end of Yevamos. How can the Chereshes get married in the first place? So, Taka Midaraisa, a woman who can't speak and can't hear, Taka can't get married in the Torah. She's a Labas Das. But Midarabonim, the Chomu Mesakin, Kedushim, and Nisuim for a Chereshes. So there is a concept of marriage. So there is a concept of a Ksuba. And you can have a Din Torah between the Baal and the Chereshes. So the Baal is going to come to Beis and he's going to say, I'm not paying you Ksuba because you're not a Besula. She can't respond. She can't say the words. No pun. It's not Pesach Bichal Ilev. It's not the real case of Pesach Bichal Ilev. So comes Rashi and says, what are we going to do for her? Says Rashi, we're going to be Pesach Bichal Ilev and we're going to advance a Tain on her behalf. Now what's the Tain that we're going to advance on her behalf? We're going to put in those two magic words into her mouth that otherwise is not speaking. We're going to say on her behalf, Misha Erastadi Nanasti, and she's going to collect the ksuba based on that. That's Rashi Shita Maseches Ksubos. Comes Tyson and says, that's absurd. Comes Tyson and says, that's Ta'anina? Lo shamanu davazem e'oilam, that we should invoke Ta'anina b'chi ha'gavna. Says Tyson, what does Ta'anina always mean? Every case of Ta'anina that we've seen up until now, Gittin Dav Beis from last year, and in Baba Basa Dav Ayin from this year, every case of Ta'anina is always said to do what? What's the role of Tanina? Someone's coming to attack Yisoybim. Someone's coming to attack Lakucho. Someone's coming with Tainas against them. We're going to step up to the plate to play what? To play defense. We're going to defend the interests of the Yisoybim. We're going to defend the interests of the poor Lakuchos who don't know anything. Tanina is always to defend, to deflect the Taina. M'heichan shemano davazem e'olam Tanina, no pun intended, like we have Migo Lohitzi, there's Tanina Lohitzi. You're going to be mighty mammon based on Tanina. You're going to go ahead and take money away from the husband because Beis Din stepped up to the plate and advanced the time, registered the time on behalf of the assignment. Lo shemalat zivzim elam says Taisus, Tanina works the hachzik, Tanina doesn't work lahaitzi. Rabbi say, this machlaik is Rashi and Taisus. Whether Tanina is on the offense, whether Tanina is only limited to the defense, so is that the machlaik is Rashi and Taisus? Is that the machlaik is Taisus in the Rosh Nasugim? Is that the same story over here? What did the Rush say? The Rush said an unbelievable thing. The Rush said, someone who's advancing a Taina, which is a Taina Shema. A Taina Shema is meaningless in halacha. Here you have these poor Yisraelim, they're advancing a Taina Shema. Maybe this field belonged to our father. We laugh at them. We say, we're going to Taina Shema. Taina Shema can't do anything. Taina Shema has no Taina Shema has no kayach in halacha. Kup Tanina and comes and saves the day. Comes Tanina and says, what started out as a Taina Shema is going to be elevated to a Taina Bari, and we're going to use this in the offense. What's the offense? To make a guy swear. We're going to force a shvua. So comes, Tyson says, you can't force a shvua based on Taninan. The same way you can't be a mighty mama based on Taninan, you can't be a mechayev shvua based on Taninan. Tyson says Taninan is only used on a defense. Taninan is used to protect interests of Yisayimim when they are being attacked. You cannot use Taninan to go on the attack. You cannot use Taninan to make a guy pay money. You cannot use Taninan to make a guy take a shvua. So maybe this is Taisa Shitasam. The Taninan is very limited in scope. It can only be used to protect. It can't be used to attack. Perhaps the Rosh disagrees. Perhaps the Rosh holds like Rashi. Perhaps Rashi and the Rosh are in the same boat. Did they hold Taninan? Taninan means we step in. Whatever the person could have said, whatever the father could have said, we're going to say. How does the phrase go? The best defense is a good one. Best defense is a good offense. So we're going to go on the offense. We're going to go on the attack. We're not going to sit around and wait for you to come and to score. We're going to go and score ourselves. We're going to go and attack. So comes the Rosh, and comes Rashi and Ksubas and say, Tanina works in both directions. We could be Mechayev Mammon based on Tanina, like Rashi's case in Ksubas. We could be Mechayev Shvua based on Tanina, like the Rosh's case here. So that's our initial reaction to this machlokes Taisim, the Rashi Nasugya, that it's in effect the same machlokes as Rashi and Taisim Ksubas. We have to touch it up a little bit, though, if we want to be intellectually honest, because the Rashi himself happens to hold in other places that Taninan, in fact, does not work L'Hoitzi Malun. So we don't want to make the Rashi too much on the side of Rashi. The Rashi personally holds that Taninan doesn't work L'Hoitzi Malun. But, nevertheless, the Rashi does hold that Taninan works L'Chayev Shvua. So probably the Rashi is somewhere in the middle between Rashi and Taisus. Probably the Rashi holds that Taninan can sometimes work on the offense, but yesh v'yesh are different levels of offense. There's offense of being mechayev shvua. Being mechayev shvua is not really to be mechayev mamon. Mechayev shvua is just simply to be mechayev shvua. To be mighty mamon, that's already much higher. That's already much stronger. At kan v'lo yoseh, says the Rosh. We could use taninan to be mechayev shvua, but not to be mechayev mamon. So it's probably taking place in that sugi. If you put together the sugi subas and the sugi of the basra, you probably end up with three different approaches in the Rishonim to what the limit, what the scope of taninan is. What can taninan accomplish? What can taninan not accomplish? That Rashi's in one extreme subas, taninan solves the world's problems. You can use the defense, offense, motzima, mechayev shvei. You name it, you got it. Taninan, the best thing in the world. That's Rashi shita. Then you have the other extreme, you have the Taisus, both Taisus by us and Taisus in Ksuvis, that says Taninan is worthless to as an offensive tool. It can only be used to protect. It can't be used to be Mechayev Mamon, can't be used to be Mechayev Shvutz, Mamish, nothing, the other extreme. Then you have the Rosh, who's probably somewhere in the middle, that says that it depends. Taninan can be used to be Mechayev Shvua. Shvua is not Lahoitzi Mamon quite, can't be used to be Motzi Mamon. Therefore, the Rosh holds an Asugi Taninan will work, whereas in Ksuvis, the Rosh agrees to Taisus that Taninan in fact will not work. So, Kopanim, all we accomplished till now is that we gave one possible beer in the Machlaikis, Taizen the Rosh and Esugya, and the nature of the beer is really a Taninan Dikam Machlaikis. So, you have to learn, when you learn Taninan, you have to really look and analyze and see who's right, what's the nature of Taninan, should Taizen be right, should Rosh be right, should Rosh be right, Taizen be right. It's a Taninan. Basically, we took this Machlaikis, Taizen the Rosh, we took it out of a Vavasa and stooped it into Sugyas of Taninan, and next time we learn Taninan, so you got to figure out who's right in this Machlaikis. That's one Mahalach in terms of the Sugya. Rabbi says, is there another direction to go? Is there a fundamentally different way to analyze the Machlokes Taisus in the Rosh and Esugya? To take it out of the realm of Taninan and perhaps explain that the Nekudas of Machlokes Taisus in the Rosh and Esugya is not a Taninan Machlokes at all. Everyone agrees. Whatever you agree to Taninan, you agree. That's not what they're arguing about. The nature of the Machlokes is not Hilchas Taninan, but rather the nature of the Machlokes is in Hilchas what? In Hilchas Shavuos Heses, and particularly what dimension of Shavuos Heses? What prod in Hilchos Shavuos Heses are we really focusing, really zeroing in on? The requirement of Tainas Bari in contrast to Tainas Shema. How do we understand that halacha, that Shavuos Heses is absolutely critical? Shavuos Heses only exists with a Tainas Bari and will not exist in the presence of a mere Tainas Shema. If we understand a little bit better the mechanics of that halacha, where is that from? What's it all about? What's the nature of that requirement of Tainas Bari and not Tainas Shema? That perhaps we'll be able to understand a little bit better the Machlokes Taisin the Rosh, whether Ta'aninan should suffice to create a Tainas Bari. So the first 15 minutes of Shir was not a Shavuos Heses Sugya, was a Ta'aninan Sugya. Now we're moving to a second totally different beer. The beer in the Machlokes Taisin the Rosh, tucked away in Rav Bashashim, lies in the very basis of the Takon of Shavuos Heses, and particularly focusing on this prat in Shavuos Heses, the requirement of a Tainas Bari in contrast to a Tainas Sheva. We understand a little bit more about that prat, then perhaps we'll understand a little bit more what Taisin the Rosh are arguing about. The second Vior, at least I saw presented in the, very clearly, anyone saw it? In the Ha'aras of the Ritva. So he has a beautiful beer as to what he thinks this Nekudas and Machalik is all about. But we're going to try to be Machiv a little bit, give a little bit of Akdama to understand what I think is 100% correct as at least a possible beer in what the Machalik is Taisin the Rosh is all about. So everybody said, let's ask somebody ABC questions. We cannot even begin to discuss this detail about Shavuos Heses until we know a little bit more about what? We have to know a little bit more about Shavuos Heses in general. How can we talk about the prop of Shavuos Heses if we don't understand what Shavuos Heses is all about? To make matters even worse, how can we begin to talk about Shavuos Heses if we don't understand a little bit what? About Shavuos Deraisa's work. Shavuos Heses is some kind of a Shavuos Derabanan. So if we don't have the ABCs of Shavuos Deraisa's, so then it's going to be hard for us to discuss Shavuos Heses. It's going to make it even more difficult for us to discuss this introduction, this detail of Shavuos Heses. So we need to back step a couple of steps just to get the background, a little bit about how Shavuos work, how Tainas work, Baris work, Shemas work, both by their Isis and their Abundance, and then hopefully we'll be able to get a little bit of a better picture of what's probably going on in there soon. There comes the Gemara Masechta Shavuos in Daf Mem and introduces to us the concept of Shavuos Esses. We've already said this several times, that it's a Gemara that introduces the concept. It doesn't even appear in the Mishnah. According to most of the Rishayim, Taisus is very convinced that this is true, that this Shavuot didn't even exist in this line of the Mishnah. It's only recorded in the Gemara because it was instituted in the days of the Gemara, in the days of Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, Shmuel, so Shavuos Esses. Even if you argue, Rashi seems to say it existed in the days of the Mishnah, but it doesn't really matter. For us, everyone agrees it's a Shavuot to Rabbanim. Amr of Nachum, a Shminas, a Shavuos Hesses. Why do you need the Shavuos Hesses? Because what was the Din D'Araisa? So the Mishnah in Shavuos records what the Din D'Araisa used to be. When I say, Abi, you owe me $1,000, and Abi says, no, I don't. That's called Kaifer HaKol. Kaifer HaKol was part of Mishavuot. That's the Din D'Araisa. There was no question about that. Nobody ever questioned that. There's no Mishnah that ever questioned that. Everyone agrees that Koif Makol is potter from a Shavuot D'Araisa. Until Rav Nachman or the Mishnah, whoever came along into the Shavuot Hesses, that's the way Din Torah were running for thousands of years. Koif Makol is potter Mishavuot. There's only one small thing the Gemara never tells us, just a small technicality, is what? How do you know that's true? We're not in a million. How do you know? How does Chazal figure that out? Where does it say, with deep dark secret, that Koif HaKol is part of Mishavuot? How do you know? So the Rishonim have at least three different Mahalchim to explain how Chazal even figured this out. It's just the introduction. You can't talk about Shavuos Hesses if you don't understand what Shavuos Hesses is trying to solve. So why is Koif HaKol part? How do you know? Menani Mili. No? Any ideas? Any ideas? Menani Mili that Koif HaKol is part of Mishavuot. Who told you? Oh, so comes Rashi and Moshe. Comes Rashi in Baba Kama, and Rashi says, you know what the reason is? Ein other may is part of Nebal Chayvay. We have a rove, a chazok, a rove, whatever you want to call it. People generally are not mechutzafim. People generally don't have chutzpah. If someone's demanding from you, I know you owe me $1,000. The guy says, no, I don't. Most people wouldn't do that if they weren't telling the truth. Ein other may is part of Nebal Chayvay. Did Rashi make up that svar of Ein other may is part of Nebal Chayvay? Rashi didn't make it up. It appears in the Gemara in a little bit of a different context. What's the context of the Gemara? Where does the Gemara invoke that principle of Ein Adam Meis Bonim Fnei Baal Chovo? We spoke about this a lot of times. What? Everybody doing mixes. The Gemara asks the question, Yipnei Ma Amra Torah, you made the mixes at Tani Yishalem. I'm sorry, Yishava. How come the Torah says that made the mixes has to take a Shavua? That's the Gemara's question. That Gemara appears in how many different places in Shas? Amar Rabba, Name Amra Torah, Ma'ida Mitzvah Tani Yishava. One of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. It appears probably could be more than any other Gemara. Where does it appear? Just give me one. If you say a Masechta, you'll probably be right. My Bava Tzir, good guess. I've given Bava Tzir. Yeah, where else? Subas Avichas. Where else? What? Appears in Gittin. Where else? Appears in Bava Kama. Where else? Appears in Shavuos. Okay, you got a good, pretty good survey. It doesn't appear in Brachas, okay, it's true. But it appears pretty much, Zvachim, okay, it appears pretty much throughout the Yeshivish Masechtas. Amar Rabbah, Neima Amra Torah, Meida Mitzatani Yishava. I want to have a question about the question of Rabbah. Neima Amra Torah, why did the Torah Kedoshah say that a Meida Mitzat has to take a Shavuot? I want to answer the following question. When did Rabbah ask this question? What do I mean by that question? I want to know, did he ask this question on Shabbos morning or on Shabbos afternoon? What's the difference? So Shabbos morning, everyone comes to my shul knows, Shabbos morning I give a drasha. So I speak about, drash, machshava, something musa, something to be chizik related to the parasha, the yema. That's the nature of the drasha in the morning. What's the afternoon shir? It's a shir in halacha. It's a sugya, it's a halacha. Two different styles, two different presentations. Sometimes I cheat and I overlap, sometimes I have nothing good to say in the morning about drush, so I say, well, halacha, also throw it in for good luck. But Rabbi said there are two different sugyas, two different types of questions, two different approaches. What was Rabbi's question? So one can understand Rabbi's question as a Shabbos morning question, as a philosophical question, Parshas Mishpatim. What ethical, philosophical, theological lesson can we derive? What can we learn from the fact that Torah said, what is this coming to teach us? What ethics and morality? What's the legal background in terms of what we should walk away with on Shabbos morning to speak about over the children? That's one way of reading Rabbah's question. But Tosfos didn't read like that. Tosfos didn't hear drashas Shabbos morning. Tosfos were Bali Halacha. So the Bali HaTosfos read Rabbah's question of Neima Amr Torah and said, this is not a drushy question. This is a halachic question. What was bothering Rava? There was a problem that was bothering Rava. Neima Umra Torah. How dare the Torah Kedosha say that you have to take a Shavua? Doesn't the Torah know about the following? What's the following? Fill in the word. Fill in the blank. Doesn't the Torah know there's a din called... Doesn't the Torah know there's a din called Migo? Doesn't the Torah know that we've been learning Migo for the last 5 months? Isn't there a din deraisa, pre-existing din deraisa called Migo? And isn't every Maidav and Mixes Ataina should be Neman with a Migo? Migo that he could have been Kaifer HaKol? That's the basis of Rabbi's Kasha. If name or Umra Torah, how can the Torah HaKadosha say you take a Shvua? What happened to Migo? Migo that he could have been Kaifer HaKol. It's to that question that Rabbi responds. What? What's his response? Ein Adam Meis Panav Efnei Bal Chovo. That there is no Migo. You want to believe him when he said, I only owe you 50 Migo, I could have said, I owe you nothing. No, he would never say, I owe you nothing. Because to say you owe nothing, to be Kaifer HaKol, is a Ha'aza. Ein Adam Meis Panav Efnei Bal Chovo. And that doesn't meet the criteria of Migo. Why? Because this is a classic example. This is the prototype of a what? Of a Migo de what? This is a Migo de Ha'aza. This is the source and shas for the principle that Migo da'az doesn't work. Didn't we talk about this earlier this year? No, we never spoke about this yet? Of course we did. So the way Taisus, the way Balei Taisus read Rabba said, why isn't every maid of the mixus ne'aman with a Migo? That was Rabba's question. Yipneima amre teira, api halocha, not a drush, api halocha. Isn't every maid of the mixus ne'aman with a Migo of Kaifer HaKol? Emprit the Gemara, emprit Rabba, name, this is Mishke Migo. That's not a Migo because it's a Migo da'azah. That's how Taisus read the Gemara. Just parenthetically, we're not going to talk about this right now. Parenthetically, do we know any other Rishon who could not have read the Gemara this way? There was no way that was the Gemara's question. There was no way that was the Gemara's answer. The Gemara never could have been asking a halachic question, you should be Neman with Amigo. Which great Rishon could never, ever, ever have read the Gemara like this? Which great Rishon... The sugya wouldn't have gotten started. Let's believe the guy to say Maidav Mikzas and let him get off from taking a shvua. Why do we make him take a shvua? Migo, he could have been Kaifer HaKol. What? Who? The Rimagash. What is the Rimagash's famous shita? Migo liftar mishvua lo armidan. There's no such concept of Migo, according to the Rimagash. Migo works to pati for mama, never works to pati for mishvua. So the Rimagash anyway had to learn the Gemara differently than Taisus. Okay, we're not learning the Rimagash right now. We're following about the Taisus. That the Gemara's question was, let it be amigo. The Gemara's answer was, amigo da aza. So you see that the Gemara used this principle of Eino de Meis Panav Efnei Bal Chovo to explain away why the amigo was no good. Comes Rashi with a tremendous chiddush. Rashi in Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Ches, says, just as the Gemara used this svar of Eino de Meis Panav Efnei Bal Chovo to show why there's no amigo, guess what, Zokt Rashi? That's the makor, the Kofra Kol's Potter. The Gemara never said what Kofar Kol's Potter. The Gemara never explained how you know Kofar Kol's Potter. It says, Rashi, that's the Makor. It's a Svar B'yam, a Lamli Kras Svaru. The Svar is, the guy's probably telling the truth. Whatever you're Kofar Kol, you're probably telling the truth because Eino D'Meis is Panav Efnei Bal Chovo. It's a rope, it's a chazoka. And that's why you believe. That's the Makor. This Gemara is the Makor. So come the other Isham, comes Taiz and says, the Gemara doesn't say that's the Makor. The Gemara used the principle of Eino D'Meis Panav Efnei Bal Chovo to deflect the Migo. But the Gemara never gave the underlying question. The underlying answer is what the Mokka for Kofar HaKol is. The Gemara stopped on this. So Rashi and Kuf Chesem of Akam had an unbelievable Chiddush. Rashi learned that Eino the Meis Panav Efnei Bal Chovo accomplishes two things. It's the Mokka for Kofar HaKol being Potter, and it's the reason why everybody makes this is not a Migo, because it's a Migo de Oza. That's Rashi's Pshat and Kuf Chesem of Akam. Taisa says, Lahayu Dvar Me'ayim. Taisa says, the Mokka for Kofar HaKol being Potter is unstated in Chazal. Nowhere explicit in Chazal. The only thing the Gemara used, Eino D'Meis Panav, is just to explain why there's no Migo. So, Taka Hadra Kushna Duchta Kuhn Tetesis. Taka, how do you know the Kofar HaKol is Potter? Where does it say? So, Tos has to go fishing. Tos has to go looking, searching high and low for a Mokor for the din that Kofar HaKol is Potter. So, Tos suggests a possibility. Tos says, I'll tell you how. Anyone ever hear of Shavuos Eid Echad? What does Shavuos Eid Echad mean? Give me the case. What does Shavuos Eid Echad mean? What's the case? I come to you, Ben, I say, you owe me $1,000. Ben says, I don't owe you $1,000. I say, Ben, Moshe is going to be mad that you owe me $1,000. What does Ben have to do? Let's take a shvul. There's a din deraisa that Ben must take a shvul now. What's the implication of Parshas Shavuos Eirechod? What's the obvious implication of Parshas Shavuos Eirechod? That if not for the presence of the Eirechod, what would we have said? There's no Shavuah. Zachteis, that's the Mocha, the Kerfer Kol's Potter. Why did the Torah have to introduce to us this Chiddush HaTorah of Shavuos Eirechod, typically that he's anyway Chayv HaShavuah, because of Kerfer Kol? Zetman from the Kerfer Kol's Potter from Shavuah. Let's tell you the second suggestion. So again, Rashi had one suggestion. And Tosis has another suggestion. Tosis rejects it on technical grounds, not right now. And Tosis comes up with a third possibility. What's the mokor that Kofar calls potos? That's Tosis. It's a beferish apostle in Chumash. What's the pasuk? Ferish apostle. Pashas mishpatim. What's the pasuk? What? Asher yomar kihuzeh. Only kihuzeh. It's a drasha. It's a tanah now. Asher yomar kihuzeh. Only if it's kihuzeh, where there's a hodob and mikzas, ayichayv shvuah, lemait, when it's not kihuzeh, when there's no hodob and mikzas, when it's a kaifer, call the stack of no shvuah. Tosis just made up a drasha. Tosis said the implication of parshas, maidim and mikzas, is a miut from parshas, maidim and mikzas, lemait kaifer akol. So again, we don't know who's right. We don't know. All we know is the facts on the ground. Everybody agrees to the Mishnah Shvuas. That if I say you owe me $1,000 and you respond no, that is a given. No one since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu ever argued with that. We're sitting back now, 4,000 years later, trying to figure out, 3,000 plus years later, trying to figure out where did it come from? How do we know this? Where does it say this in the Tosha Nechsav? Where was Munach in the Halakha Torah, this cloud of Chazal and the Mishnah Shavuah just said so flippantly, and finished? Where did they get it from? So Rashi dug up one makar. It's a svar. Of ain't other mayor's pun of Nebal Chayvin. Tosis said a possibility it's learned out from Parshas Nerechot. Then Tosis said the Eidish Shlom it's learned out in a meal from Parshas Medim Mixes. Everybody comes to the same conclusion. We're not sure where it came from, but it exists. That's the background. Okay, so we now have a little bit of a background, what the Din D'Oraisa is, and now let's superimpose the Din D'Rabbanan. Comes with Nachman and Rav Nachman Shpinas or Shavuos Hesus. You have to take a Shavuos Hesus. Why? Why do you take Shavuos Hesus? What was wrong with the way things were going until now? Comes the Gemara in Shavuos and says, why? No, nope. Who remembers? Who saw the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Mem? Chazaka ein adam ha? Ein adam tevev aloy loy. It is highly unlikely that I'm going to walk into Beis Din and say, you, Isaac, owe me $1,000 if I'm totally bluffing. Unlikely. The chazok is for care. Ain't that him to be a loy loy? The stomach, I'm telling the truth. Now again, Beis Din is not so convinced that I'm telling the truth. If they were really, really convinced, 100% I'm telling the truth, what would they do? They'd give me the $1,000. But they don't do that. What they do is, they were concerned, Rav Nachman's Beis Din were concerned enough, ain't that him to be a loy loy? It's enough of a reason with the Rabbanon for us to be concerned. But I said we're not concerned. But the Rabban, it's enough reason for us to be concerned to insist that Isaac at least offset my claim by taking a shvuah. And that's the rationale. That's the historical background for shvuah. So that says, ain't nothing to vev aloy loy. Comes the Magid Mishnah and says, this Gemara is the secret of shvuah's hesed. And this Gemara ultimately explains, how do we know that Shavuos Hesus only exists by Tanis Bari, not by Tanis Shema? He doesn't say that. Why should that be so? Why not? Why can't you have a Shavuos Hesus by Tanis Shema? What's wrong? If I come to you and I say, Menachem, I think you owe me $1,000. I think I'm not sure. Why does Menachem take a Shavuot and say, I don't owe you? Why not? What's the difference? If I say, Menachem, I know you owe me $1,000, then Shavuos Hesus kicks in. If I say, Menachem, I think you owe me $1,000, it doesn't kick in. Why? What's the rationale behind that chiluk? Says the Magid Mishnah, makes perfect sense. What's the rationale, by saying? What's the rationale? The whole Mechayev of Shavuos Hesus in the first place was Chazal's response to this Chazok of Chazok Enam Tevev Aloy Loy. So what does that mean, Chazok Enam Tevev Aloy? That means a guy is not going to have the audacity to walk at the Beis Din and say, you owe me $1,000, you crook, you cheat, you thief. One day, I'm Zevi, like, my youngest son stole one of Merkel's baseball cards or something. Merkel's running around the table saying, "You're a thief! My brother's a thief! He's a thief!" So a guy's going to walk at the base and say, "You thief! You kind of, you bandit! You owe me $1,000 and you're not paying me." A guy's not going to do that unless there's some truth to what he's saying. It's enough of a truth to get us nervous to at least force the other guy to take a shvua. That's the rationale for shvuah. A guy walks to the bed and says, "Kenzain, Afshayo, Dinein, maybe he does owe me, I don't remember that." You don't need so much chutzpah for that. It doesn't take so much chutzpah. Walk to the bed and say, "Listen, I don't want to make any accusations. I'm not going to point the finger, but I said, I think that maybe he owes me $1,000 from last year." People would do that without hesitating for a moment. So, Kum the Magen Mishnah says, if the whole Shavuos Heses was a response to Ein Adam Tovei Veloi Loi, we understand perfectly well why the formulation of the Takana was that if you have a Tainus Bari, yes, you can be Mechayev Shavuos Heses. If you don't have a Tainus Bari, then you know that Chazaka. The Chazaka is lacking, there is no Shavuos Heses. So that's the simple pshat as to why there's a halacha of requiring a Tainus Bari. Could we say it a little bit fancier? Could we say it a little bit different? Could we give a whole different twist as to why you need a Tainus Bari? So perhaps, when the Gemara tells us, Chazaka inam tevei of lo lo, the Gemara is not telling us that principle governs now the details of the Takana. That principle was the historic reality, the psychological reality that forced Chazal to make the Takana in the first place. Because there's a reality out there that most of the time, inam tevei of lo lo, we're going to institute Shavuos Heses. But once the Takana was made, and we find this very often in Takana Sachamim, the Takana sometimes takes on a life in and of itself. That once the Takana was made, Shavuos Heses, you're going to find me a particular case where that Chazaka doesn't apply, it doesn't matter. It's like a shtickle bo plug. Because once the Takana was made, that's a kofra kof mit deraisa, it doesn't need a shvua, mit derabanan does need a shvua. You're going to isolate a particular quirk of a case where the svar doesn't apply, it's still going to be a klev in shvua. So comes the Magen Mishnah of Eidish Lamer and says, that Gemara Chazaka Inanam Tavei Avalolo is not the mokar, that's not the reason why you require Tainus Bari. That's the Gemara just explaining why the mechanism, why they made the Takana. That's what was on the table in Rav Nachman's Basin where they were debating, you had to make the Takana, not make the Takana. So the psychologists came and presented us with the statistics, and the facts were Chazaka Inanam Tavei Avalolo. So they responded and they made the Takana Shavuos Heses. But at the end of the day, you want to know what's governing the details of the Takana. The Takana is a life of itself. So Taka Frekta Magen Mishnah Taka, why is it that the halacha is only with the Tainus Bari, not with the Tainus Shema? If that's not the reason, what is the reason? What other possible reason could it be that Shavuos Heses requires the Tainus Bari, not a Tainus Shema? If it's not based on the Chazaka. Anyone have any ideas? What else could have prompted Chazal to formulate the Takana specifically this way? To rephrase the question, what usually goes into the mind of Chazal when they institute Takanas Chachamim? What do they look to? What are their guideposts to figure out how to make a Takana? We want to formulate the details of the Takana. How do we go about doing that? What? So we have a cloud goal called the Tikkun Rabbanin Kein Deraisa Tikkun. Now whenever the Chazal make a Takana, they always have the eyes to a Din Deraisa. And that Din Deraisa sometimes will affect the details of the Takanas Chachamim. We've seen this time and time and time again. Okay? Not this year so much. I haven't learned too many Durabonis this year, but we've seen this. Those who said a Shabbos with us, who was around for Shabbos days? Nobody. Nobody left. What? Brachas days, we saw this in Brachas. How many kids? New woman, some examples in Brachas, you remember? Oil, Shvius, and oil, and all these Brachas. Brachas is based on the definition of pre-Nuchas Arlan, the definition of pre-Nuchas Shvius, and Lechad Vahamaitzi is based on Chuschala, and Matzah. We saw this time and time again, this principle. The Dinam Derabbanan instituted Ke'ein Deraisa. So if you were sitting in the Bezin in the Heiliger of Nachman and you were voting on to be Misaka and Shavuos Heses, which Shavuah is Shavuos Heses Ke'ein Deraisa of? What's the closest Shavuah out there that Shavuos Heses is? There are only three choices. Okay. Is this Shavuos HaShomrim? I don't know, there's a shomer. There's no shomer. There's no animal. There's no, what does it do with shomer? The Shavuos HaShomer is a guy swearing that the animal got stolen. What does it do with Shavuos HaShomer? Shavuos HaRechad? There's a major player in Shavuos HaRechad that's not here. Shavuos HaRechad needs three people. You need the Tevei, the Nifa, the HaRechad. But this is so fundamentally, drastically different than Shavuos HaRechad. What's it pretty close to? Pretty close to what? But it makes us. What's my dibbe mikzas mean? You know, we call it mode mikzas because we call it, the halacha calls it mode mikzas. But every mode mikzas is also a what? A kofim mikzas, right? Same thing. Glass is half empty, half full. So we'll call it shvus kofim mikzas just to make it a little easier for us to conceptualize. There's a shvus at Torah called kofim mikzas. So came the chacham and said, we're going to institute a shvus derabanan. You know what we're going to call it? Kofim bekulo. Midaraisa, you only take a shvuah if you kaif of a mikzas. But midrabbana, you take a shvuah even if you kaif of a kulo. Well, it's not bad. Pretty close. I would say, if I was taking an SAT, is it closer to A, B, C, or none of the above? What would you say? I'd say it's much closer to shvuahs, midrabbana, mikzas, than to any of the other shvuahs. That's the nature of the taklam. So, kol b'tikin rabbana, kain deraisa tikin. So now, came the chachamim, and we're looking, they were modeling, they're trying to find out, let's make a takon esacham koshvus yases with our eye to make the mitzvahs. Rabbi Sai, what's the din by shvus made the mitzvahs? What would the din be as follows? What could the days going to say? They say, Jesse, I think, I don't remember exactly, but I think it's possible that you owe me $1,000. Could be you owe me $1,000. I don't remember exactly. I think you owe me $1,000. And Jesse says, Rabbi, listen, I owe you $500. $500, I don't owe you. I'm made the mitzvah. So what's the din? So first of all, Jesse's got to pay the $500. Okay, that's simple. That's all dollars. Then even if I wouldn't have been towing, does he have to take a shvuah on the rest? What's the din? Is that called made the mitzvah? What's the answer? Is that called made the mitzvah or no? No? I'll ask you a different question. Okay? I gave you an animal to watch. Now I come at the end of the week, I say, where's the animal? You say, the animal's gone. Stolen. You say, you're shemachinim, so you would be fucked up. And I say to you, I don't know whether it's stolen or not. I'm not sure. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. What's the din? Would you have to take a shvua? I'll ask you a third question. I come to Jesse and I say, Jesse, you owe me $1,000. Maybe. I'm not sure. I don't remember whether you owe me $1,000 or not. Could be. Jesse says, no, he doesn't owe. Doesn't owe me a penny. What do I do now? I bring an Itai. And what does Itai say? He says, Jesse, you owe the rabbi $1,000. I have an erechad. What's the problem? There's an erechad, but what's lacking? There was no Tainus Bari. So I just gave you three illustrations. I just gave you Shvus HaShomrim with the Tanya Shema. I gave you Beit Din Mikzas with the Tanya Shema. And I gave you Shvus Erecha with the Tanya Shema. I want the answer to those three questions. I want to know what's the answer. There's a concept of Shvus D'Araisa. Does it exist in the case of a Tanya Shema? Or is Shvus D'Araisa limited only to Tanya's Bari? That's all I want to know. And after you give me the answer to that question, then I can discuss Shvus Hesses with you. I can't talk about Shvus Hesses, which is the Rabbanon, if I don't know what the Din Der Eis is. Called the Din Rabbanon came Der Eis. Nope, who wants to tell me? What's the Din? You want to take a shot? One of the three is easy, the cinch. What's the easy case? Yeah, that's such hard. That's Machlik Zim Shonim. What's the easy case? Shvus Hashom is the cinch. What's the answer, Shvus Hashom? The Mavkid says to the Shomer, I don't know whether the cow was stolen. You better swear. Does he have a right to say that? How do you know? That's the Chumash. That's the Torah Shabbos. That's what the case is. Every Shomer in Mavkid is that. That's exactly what's going on. I gave you a cow to watch. I don't know what happened. So I'm coming to you and I say, you better swear. And tell me what happened. So there's no question. Of course, Shvus HaShomrim, there's a Shvuah with the time of Shema. That is the case of Shvus HaShomrim with the time of Shema. What about the other Shvuahs? Shvuahs by the Vimiktas. Shvuahs by the Vimiktas is a Dovah Poshut. That time of Shema doesn't work. You need a Tainus Bari. It's the Tainus Mechayev. I'm coming to you and I'm saying, you owe me $1,000. If I say, maybe, yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure doesn't mean anything. It's not a Meide B'Mikzah Sataina. Meide B'Mikzah Sataina Yeshava. Ribnei Ma'om Retaira Meide B'Mikzah Sataina Yeshava. A Taina, which is a Taina, Shema is Nishkin Taina. Shvus HaShomrim doesn't require a Taina.
Shvus HaShomrim is the Shomer has a right, I'm sorry, the Mafkid has a right to demand the Shvua. He's not timing anything. I have no claim against you. I don't know what happened to the animal. But the Torah says, I have a right to insist. Part of our relationship with Shomer and Mafkid, I have a right to insist that you take a Shvua. But the Gemara calls the Hafiz Dasho Balabayas, to make the Balabayas feel better. But it's not a response to any taina, because the Mafkid doesn't have a taina. You can't have a taina if you don't know what your taina is. So, Kuli Amal Pligi, that a taina by definition means a taina is bari. A taina is shema, can't be mechayev b'shvua. So maybe a mixus with a taina shema is meaningless. Shvua sashomrim with a taina shema, quote unquote, is meaningful, because the whole shvua is not based on a taina in the first place. It's based on a taina shema. In fact, this is the source for a Rambam. The Rambam writes a tremendous chiddush. The Rambam writes, we have a klal ein nishbon al tainus chereshet for katan. Let's say a katan, kid under bar mitzvah, comes and says, hey, Rabbi, you owe me $1,000. And I say, no, I only owe you 500. What's the din? I pay 500 and I don't have to take a shvuah. You can't have a shvuah smayed the mitzvahs on a tainus katan. Ki yitay ishra ishul a katan, ein nishbon al tainus chereshet for katan. Comes the Rambam and says, a tremendous chiddush that doesn't appear in the Gemara. He says in the name of his Rebbeim, he quotes the Rimagash, and he says, the Rimarebi, my Rebbe's Rebbe, the Rimagash was Mechadish. That this cloud that ain't nishban al tainus chereshet v'katan only applies to shvus meidim. The mixus doesn't apply to shvus hashomrim. You know why? Says the Rambam, the yisod of ain't nishban al tainus chereshet v'katan is what? That a chereshet v'katan can't present a taina. You have to be a bar das to create a taina. When a katan walks in the base and starts babbling, that's just a game. That's not a taina. So the Rambam says, in hilchas meidim mixus where you need a taina, so a katan can't advance a taina. But in hilchas shomrim, you don't need a taina. In hilchas shomrim, all he has to say is, I gave you an animal to wash. That's not a taina. It's a statement of fact. I gave you the animal to wash, now swear. So says the Rambam, you have to swear to the cousin also. The cloud of Ein Nishbon HaTainus Chereshet V'Katan doesn't apply to Shvus HaShomrim. So that sheet of the Rimagash and Rambam highlights this as clear as day, that Shvus HaShomrim is fundamentally different than Shvus Meidim Mitzvos. One is a response to a taina, one is not a response to a taina. It happens to be, parenthetically, that the Ravid disagrees with this Rambam on purely technical grounds. The Ravid says, you don't have to take a shvuah to the Shomer, who's a katan. You know why? You know why? Because ein nesidas katan klum, it's not a Shomer relationship. The relationship of Mafkid and Shomer presupposes that both people are b'nei das. When a katan gives you something to watch, you're not a Shomer. Ein nesidas katan klum. So the Ravid agrees bikaron to the Rambam that in theory, in terms of Uchlas Tainus, so there would have been a Shavuos HaShomrim to a Mafkid as a Katan. The Raiva disqualifies the Shavuot on other grounds because it was never a Pekadot to start with. But the Yisod of the Rambam rings clear. It's absolutely true. Emes Lamitai, the Shavuos HaShomrim is not a response to a Taina. Maidu Mix is a response to a Taina. Is Ein Echad a response to a Taina? That's two days in Taisus. Okay, so sorry, Moshe. That was the complicated one. But not for now. So Rabbi said, what just came out very clear from everything we've been saying? No matter what you hold about Shavuos HaShomrim, no matter what you hold about Shavuos HaEchad, one of the three Shavuos is an absolute given that you require a Taina's Bari, because the whole Mechayev of the Shavuos is the Taina. But Shavuos HaEchad, maybe it's different because maybe the Echad is the Mechayev, not the Taina. But by Shavuos, maybe it makes us the Taina is the Mechayev, therefore Taina's Bari is absolutely critical and necessary B'lishim Sofer. Says the Magid Mishnah, now we have another reason why Shavuos Heses requires a Taina's Bari as well. The Tikkun Rabbanan came deraisa Tikkun. When Chazal and Masakin Shavuos Heses, they were looking to a Shavuot deraisa. Which Shavuot deraisa were they looking to? To Shavuos HaShomrim? What are you, ridiculous? What does that do Shavuos HaShomrim? What, to Shavuos HaElechad? Absurd. What does that do Shavuos HaElechad? The only one of the three big Shavuos that resembles at all Shavuos Heses is Meidiv and Mixus. So just as Meidiv and Mixus is Chikfil Yav, you need a Taina, the very nature of the Shavuot comes Mikarcha Taina. No pun intended. The very nature of the shvua comes because of the taina. Shvuas heses only exists when there's a taina, and taina by definition alacha means bari. So what the Magid Mishnah just did for us was created a whole different structure as to why you need taina's bari by shvuas heses. So one reason was a very practical reason, was in a sense a historical reason, psychological reason. Since the whole takana was made as a response to chazak and adam toin tovev lo. So only if that reason applies, does the Shavuot apply. So when the Taina is Bari, the reason applies. Taina Shema, the reason doesn't apply. That's the first approach to the Magid Mishnah. And the second approach is, no, that's not the reason why. That was just the reason why they made the Takana. But once the Takana got off, it took on a life of its own. So why is it that you require a Taina is Bari? What's the answer?
Because the halachic category, it's got to be duvi tumah. It doesn't make sense. Hapidin, it's got to be a tanis bari. Rabbi Yisrael, I'm not committed between the tumah halachim and the Makom Mishnah. Who cares? Who cares? At the end of the day, tanis bari works, tanis shemah doesn't work. Who cares? Whether it's a psychological reason, a halachic reason, who cares? So the chariz makes all the difference in the world. How are you going to define whether something is a tanis bari or not? Who's going to make that assessment whether something is the time is buried? Whose call is it? Is it the psychologist's call or the rabbanim's call? If you go with the first pshat, so that psychological truth has to be present. Chazaka inanim tevev aloyloy. If that truth psychologically is not there, then the shvuah will not be implemented. So you got to give the guy a test, psychologically analyze him. Is that chazok in his head or is it not in his head? If it's in his head, we'll get the shvuah. If it's not in his head, the shvuah will fail. According to the second approach, we don't ask the psychologist anything. What do we ask? We ask the mesakli atakona. We ask the beizdin, the rabbonim. Apidin. Not psychological. Apidin. Is this a tainis bari or is this not a tainis bari? That's all I want to know. I don't care what the psychologists say. Api halocha, is this labeled apidin a tainis bari or not? What's going to be the litmus test? What's going to be the case? Give me a case that may meet the criteria of Titus Bari and Halacha, but not in psychology. Taninan is the classic example. Taninan is the perfect case. That's the test case. What does Taninan mean, Rabbi Sain? The Yisraelim come to Beis Din, and they say a Tanis Shema. Psychologically, all they have going for them is they have no idea whose land it was. They don't know the father's here, no, maybe so. They have a Tanis Shema. Psychologically, does that klal of Chazaka Einaram Tevev Lo apply to Yisraelim? Can you look at a Yosef in the face and say, oh, from the fact that you're coming to Beis Din and you're saying that maybe the land belonged to the father, can you say that? Ridiculous. Can you invoke Tanina? Even more ridiculous. Tanina is a halachic reality. Tanina is not a psychological state of mind. Tanina doesn't change the person's thought process. Tanina is a halachic concept. So come to Balei Taisvis, they were psychologists, come to Balei Taisvis and say, is a psychological reality. If that reality exists, then Shavuos Heses goes. If the psychological reality doesn't exist, then Shavuos Heses fails. A Yosam, who in his own, on his own, doesn't know the reality, so that svar, Chazok Adam Tevev Aloyloy, is meaningless. The fact that a Pidin, we're going to put words into his mouth. What are the pale Pidin putting words into the mouth going to mean? The Chazok is not there anymore. If the chazaka is not there, it's called the Tain Hashem. Tain Hashem doesn't require Rishvus Hesses. That's Shittas Tosfos in Asugya. And what would the Rosh respond? The Rosh would say no. The Rosh would say, what does Tanina do? Tanina is a halachic mechanism that transforms the Tain Hashem into a Tainis Bari. Guess what, guys? We're good to go. We have a Tainis Bari in front of us. And the Tainis Bari doesn't address the chazaka. It doesn't have to address the chazaka. All it's got to do is be elevated into a halachic category of Bari. Once it's a halachic Tainis Bari, then it's Ke'en Deraisa. It's close enough to Medivah Mitzvah. Medivah Mitzvah is a halachic concept. We've created a halachic category called Tanis Bari. Ready to roll. Let's get that Shavua out. That's what the Rosh does. So Rabbi Sai, according to what we're saying, the Machlaikas in Taizim, the Rosh in Asugya, is not some tactical Machlaikas in Uchas Taninan, as to can Taninan do this, can Taninan do that, can it be Mitzimah, can it be Machayah Shavua. That was one possibility. According to what we're saying, the Machlaikas is fundamentally different. Machlokes Taisim in Rosh and Asugya is a machlokes in Hilchas Shavuos Heses, particularly this Prat of Shavuos Heses. Why do you need Tanis Bari? You cannot begin to appreciate what the necessity for Tanis Bari is until you understand what Tanis Bari fits in Shavuos Deraisa. So we had to give a little bit of a background to Shavuos Deraisa, different things Shavuos Hashayim, Shavuos Meidav Mikdash, Shavuos Erechot, and also appreciate this cloud of Meidav Mikdash requiring Shavuos Tanis Bari, and by extension, the Ke'en Deraisa taken to Shavuos Heses as well. Very simple, right? When you saw the Machlokes Taisim in Rosh, everyone figured this out. Two different viewers of the Machlokes Taisim in Rosh. Okay? Machlokes Taisim in Taninan, Machlokes Taisim in Bari. There's one last Nakuda though to the Sugya. The Rosh just passed all the answers of the Rishonim. We're still trying to figure out what Rav Moshe Asher was thinking. What do you mean he would have tied it Lakuach Ibiyad? He would have gotten off without a Shavuah. So the Rashbam had one reason, because it's a Karka. The Rosh says, nah, that's no good. Second reason, because it's Chesed Gimushar, nah, that's no good either. Tosfos had another reason, because it's the Tanis Shema, nah, that's no good, because Tanina, it's the Tanis Bari. Okay? It's very nice to disqualify everybody else's reason, so Taka,
How do you learn Pshat and Rabbi Shashim? What's Pshat? What's Pshat and Rabbi Shashim? How come Rabbi Shashim, what do you mean he would have tied a kluchi the other? That wouldn't have helped him. He would have had to take a shvuah. No, Rabbi, what does the Rush say? What does the Rush respond to that? The what? What does he say, Moshe? He would have taken a shvuah. Rabbi Shashim had no qualm taking shvuahs. You thought Rabbi Shashim didn't want to take a shvuah. Who told you that? I told you that. I misled you on Thursday. On purpose. I told you that piece of information that the basic fundamentally asserted in the sugya is Rabbi Shashim didn't want to take a shvuah. That's why he was looking for any way under the sun to get out of that shvuah. I didn't make that up. The Rashbam said it. Taisa said it. The Rush says we got the totally wrong shot. We misunderstood Rabbi Shashim's motives with Gamre. He didn't have any qualms. He would have taken a shvuah. He was an honest guy. He wasn't lying. Khalil, he was an Amira. He wasn't trying to cheat anybody. Rabbi Shashim was going to take a half a pruta from anybody he wasn't entitled to. He just had a lot of interesting ways of getting that pruta, but he wasn't going to take a pen. He wasn't going to nishbol shiach, chas v'shalom. So what was Rabbi Shashim thinking? What was his motives? What was he trying to accomplish? What was his real goal? Not to get out of a shvuah like Rashbam and Taisa said, according to the Rush, what was his real goal? He needed his money when? Now. Problem was, if he would go in the straight route and give the mashkan back and then go collect the shtar, what would the Chacham have told him? Exactly what they told him at the end. What did they tell him at the end? Yeah, Bali Parv Nichzi Yisomim, you know, not only Parv Shvuah, but Eivis Kach Nichzi Yisomim B'chlal. Beis is not going to talk to you until the Yisomim turn by mitzvah. The kids are 2 years old. He's got 11 years to go. He needs money now. He's got to pay his mortgage now. He's got to pay his yeshiva tuition now. He can't wait 11 years. So he needs the cash. It's his money. He's entitled to the money. He lent the money. It's not a Chalil Aganav. It's his money. Beis Din's going to drain a cup. We can't collect from Nichzi Yisomim for another 10 years. Sorry, got to wait. Because the Sugin Erechin, you're not allowed to touch the Nichzi Yisomim. So Rabbi Shashim wanted to avoid that delay. So the only way for him to avoid the delay was to take the money now, which is legally coming to him. The money's his. But he's going to figure out a dray how he's going to get that money now. By timing l'kuachi b'yadi. He would have been willing to take a shvuah, in theory. It didn't bother him to take a shvuah. He would have sworn, not that he would have chalila sworn falsely l'kuachi b'yadi, but he would have sworn that he's entitled to the money, and that the shtar is right, that he's entitled to the money, for the father owes the money from the separate shtar, and he would have had a good migo, because he was ready and willing to take a shvuah of l'kuachi b'yadi. I mean, the theoretical shvuah of l'kuachi b'yadi. He wouldn't have had any problems taking that shvuah. He would have been chayav for shvuah. You don't give me a dray that he's potter for the shvuah because it's karka, because it's chesed dimashalim, because it's shvuah times shema. No, that shvuah would have existed. So now Rabbi Shashim comes with a straight face and says, "Listen, believe me that the Yisomim owe me $1,000 from this other shtar, and I'll take a shvuah that they owe me $1,000 from the other shtar. Migo that I could have done the kuchi biyadi, which would have been chayav for shvuah. Okay, I'm going to take a shvuah that they owe me the $1,000, which is the shvuah's emes." Migo that I could have done a kuchi biyadi, which would have been acquired a shvuah, okay. I'm willing to take a shvuah, says Rabbi Shashim. That's not my problem. My problem is I want the money now. So according to the Rush, the answer to the question is, hey, what happened to the shvuah balakuach? What's the answer? Nothing happened to the shvuah. It would have been there. It would have been there. All three reasons that given by the Rishonim fail miserably, says the Rush, the shvuah, la kuchi biyadi, would have existed. So Rabbi said, when all the dust settles, we completed the sugya. I can't say we finished Rabbi Shashim. We finished the first part of the Rabbi Shashim sugya. We have four very, very different mahalchim in the Rishonim as to what the answer to this question is. What do you mean, l'kuchi b'yadi? What happened to the shvuah? Aren't you trying to avoid a shvuah? Rishbam number one, it's karka. Rishbam number two, it's gimel shanim. Taisus, tainus shema. And the Rush, all the above are wrong. It really would have been a shvuah. We got the whole pshat in the sugya wrong. He wasn't trying to avoid a shvuah. He was just trying to get his money ready. Okay, so four Rishonim, four approaches to Rishonim, how to get the very basics, just to understand what Rabbi Shashim was thinking. Hopefully, tomorrow we have to continue the next part of the Rabbi Shashim.